Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Happy Easter! Y'all be seated. Thank y'all for calling us in this morning. So glad that y'all are here this morning. I just want to say thank you as we get going this morning. If you help, you know, purchase these lilies, thank you. If you're in the choir, the orchestra, the bells, thank you. If you were at the sunrise service, Caden and Joel and Bentley helping lead worship at 7 a.m. this morning. It was powerful, by the way. Were you also helping this morning? Okay. Anyway, I just thank you for the whole week. It's been a great week. Easter egg hunts, different worship services, and, it all happens because people, you know, our commitment, our desire was if Jesus is lifted up, he will draw all persons unto him. And there were about 500 hunting eggs yesterday, and there were about 250 up the way, and there were 120 of us carrying the cross 5.5 miles, right, from here at our central location out to the way. And it was so awesome. And God was with us every step. And this morning, we come here, right, because Jesus is alive. We come here because Jesus is risen. And if he's not, y'all, let's go home now because we're just wasting our time. But because he is alive, he's not just, right, not just the tomb is empty, but he has come to meet with us this morning so our hearts would be made full. I don't know about you, but Friday night, you know, we had the crosswalk. My body's tired. I'm going, you know, we went to sleep. I checked. It said there was a 100% chance of rain. 100%. So I got up, you know, Saturday morning expecting to see, you know, the grass wet, the streets wet. Nope, nothing. So 100% didn't mean anything, I guess. I don't know. So, but I want to guarantee you this morning, 100% Jesus is alive. 100% that tomb is empty, all right? Now, here's the deal. I know that, you know, the weatherman, what he really meant was, or she really meant, was 100% chance of rain somewhere on the South Plains, probably, right? It's not enough for the resurrection of Jesus to just be somewhere. Not enough for the resurrection of Jesus to just be way back there in history. Here's the scripture. Philippians 3:10. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. I want to know not just, you know, that he has risen. I want to know that he is risen in my heart. So this morning, the 100% chance that Jesus is going to show up, he's here. But the issue of whether he's going to show up in you, that's your choice. So as we sing, as we praise, we hear the word this morning, may you not just, you know, talk about the resurrection, hear about the resurrection, but may you experience the resurrected, risen Jesus in this place, yes, but in this place too, all right? Okay, announcements this morning. We have, first announcement is next week we have a concert, Westward Road. They've been here several years ago. They're awesome. Please invite friends and y'all come next Sunday, 8:30 and 10:45. Second announcement also next week is we're packing snack packs. Hands of Jesus is the ministry, we call it. 150 kids in the Cooper School District that we just packed this nutritious sack for them to take home on the weekends. We need your help with that. Just in case, not quite two months from now, depends how you count it, at the end of, but anyway, just want to put this on your radar. Jesus said, let the little children come unto me. That's why we do egg hunts. That's why we do the crosswalk. That's why we're going to do VBS. And this place is going to be so full of kids, so hungry for Jesus. And so we need you to volunteer. We need you to register. And maybe we need you to give financially a little bit. But let's let Jesus use us to reach the kids of the LBK area. Okay? All right. Let's stand together and do our mission statement. Or maybe I took it out, did I? Let's see if you can see. Those of you who come all the time, let's see if you can remember it. St. Luke's is a Christ-centered family of grace where all persons are welcome and wanted. We're committed to reach, grow, and send forth fully devoted followers of Jesus. Lord Jesus, make it so. Come into this house this morning. And as we are belonging to you, as we are seeking to follow you, may our hearts truly worship you. In your name, Jesus, amen. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. And Lord, we thank you and praise you that you come to save us from our sin. You come to free us from our sin, but you come to make us like you so that we too can rise like you. Come, Lord, abound. Send your Holy Spirit in this place. In your name we pray, O Lord. Amen. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you. Praise you. God, for all the ways that this church invests themselves, God, their hearts, their resources, their service in making a difference for you in this world. God, we pray that you will use us to be a blessing to this world. Lord, thank you for all the good gifts, God, that you are sending our way. And Lord, it's our heart, it's our desire to just love you even as you have loved us. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Greetings in the name of the risen Jesus. Greetings in the name of our resurrected Lord. Greetings in the name of the one who came to forgive us and set us free. Greetings in the name of the one who has come, for he and he alone is worthy of our praise. He and he alone is the one for whom we have come this day. It is my honor and my joy to bring you the good news of Jesus on this resurrection morning. I've traveled a great distance in both space and time to be with you on this holy day. Your world is much different than my world. You have donkeyless wagons that travel extremely fast. You have beautiful sanctuary that just seems so comfortable, yet you wear such tight clothes that seem so uncomfortable. You talk into these small boxes in one place and your loved ones hear you in another place. Your life seems filled with so many conveniences, yet also filled with so much strife and stress. But people in your day, just as people in my day, still gather to worship the living God. You still gather together to experience the presence and power of the risen Lord Jesus. My name is Andrew Barjona. I am the son of Jonah, the brother of Simon, and the first ever follower of Jesus. He is Yeshua HaMashiach. He is the one and only Son of God. It was long ago when I was still a young man when I first met Jesus. I was a disciple of John the Baptizer. John was a prophet who called all Israel to repentance. People listened to John because they knew that John listened to God. They responded to his message because they knew that he spoke the truth. John challenged the common folk and the elite as well, the everyday workers and the religious authorities. He called everyone to repent of their sins, and he challenged them to lead a new life that was worthy of their repentance. John often talked about the coming of the Messiah, the coming of Jesus. And he freely admitted that he was not the Messiah, but rather that God had sent him to prepare the way for Jesus to come. John always said, he said, "I baptize you with water, but there is one who comes after me who's more powerful than I. He's the one whose sandals I'm not worthy to even untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." You see, baptism, Jesus' baptism, it's not just about, you know, getting wet on the outside, but getting different on the inside. Jesus' baptism is not having an idea of God, but a life-transforming encounter with God. Jesus' baptism is not just a change of behavior, but a true change of heart and life. Jesus' baptism is, you know, not just going to the motions, not just some mere form of religion. His baptism is about actually being filled with the very Holy Spirit of God. John says, "I baptize with water, but he who comes will baptize you with fire." So this morning, I wonder, are you merely sitting in a pew, or is God alive and reigning within you? this morning, do you have a mere form of religion, or are you full of the power of God's Spirit? This morning, do you know about God, or do you know of God? This morning, are you lukewarm in your faith, or are you alive with the very fire of the risen Jesus? I will always remember the first day I met Jesus. He came toward John. We were all with John, and John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And again, the next day, Jesus came passing by. And again, John shouted, "Behold, the Lamb of God." My friend and I decided to follow after Jesus. Jesus turned around and he asked us, he says, "What do you want? What are you looking for?" It's quite a question, by the way, right? When the God of the universe asks you, what do you want? I know if you ask Pastor Andy what he wants for Easter lunch, he could probably tell you he wants spiraled ham, mashed potatoes, homemade rolls, and his wife Janie's, famous carrot cake. That's what he wants, right? But Jesus wasn't asking us what we wanted for lunch. He was asking us, what do you want from life? There were so many times when Jesus would ask such penetrating questions. Jesus asked a man paralyzed for 38 years if he wanted to get well. Jesus asked a blind man in Jericho, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked a father who was seeking his healing for his son if he really believed. And now Jesus is asking me, what do you want, Andrew? What do you want? What are you looking for? Jesus didn't ask questions because he didn't know the answers. He asked questions because he wanted us to know the answers. What did I want? What was I looking for? I wanted to know that God was real. I wanted to know that I mattered to God. I wanted to live a life that made a difference in my long ago world. What Jesus knew about me, what Jesus knows about you, is that you have a God-shaped vacuum, that you were created for relationship with God. He knows that you can fill your life so full of all the demands and frivolities of this world, that you can fill your void with possessions and pursuits and persons so that you seemingly don't have any room left for God. What Jesus knew about me 2,000 years ago and what he knows about you this very morning is that God and God alone can fill this void. You could have all this world, but if you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. We asked Jesus, "Rabbi, teacher, where are you going? Rabbi, teacher, where are you staying?" And Jesus said, come and see. So that day we went and spent the evening listening to Jesus talk about the kingdom of God, listening to Jesus talk about God as our Father. He talked not as someone who had learned these things secondhand, but rather as someone who knew these things directly from God. The first thing I did as we left Jesus was go and get my brother Simon. "Simon, we found the one who's the Messiah, the Christ. Come and see. Come and see." And I literally dragged Simon all the way to Jesus. And then when Jesus saw Simon, Jesus looked straight at him, maybe as if he looked straight into him. He said, "You are Simon, son of Jonah. But from now on, you will be called Cephas, Petros, the rock." I'm here this morning because I want to invite you too to come and see Jesus. With the eyes of your heart, I want you to come and see Jesus. First, I invite you to come and see Jesus minister to the multitudes. The crowds came to Jesus because of the way that he taught. They came to Jesus because of the way that he met their needs. And they most surely came to Jesus because of the way that he loved them. Jesus healed the sick. Jesus made the lame to walk. Jesus made the blind to see. Jesus set those who were demonized free from the evil that defined them. And one day, Out in the middle of the wilderness, a crowd of over 10,000 people had come to be with Jesus. They'd been with us all day, so we came and we said, Jesus, it's been a long day. Send everybody home so that they can get something to eat. And Jesus told us, you feed them. Lord, what are you kidding? Are you crazy? Rabbi, it would take us thousands of dollars just to give each person a single bite. What do you have? Jesus asked. And I brought Jesus, this young boy, who had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the boy willingly gave his family's dinner to Jesus. He gave the little that he had in his hands, and he put it into Jesus' hands. Then Jesus had everyone sit down, and he lifted the bread to his father, and he blessed the bread, and he broke the bread, and then he gave the bread. And he fed us, and he fed us. That boy's little became much in the hands of Jesus. Everyone ate their fill that day, and we had 12 huge baskets of leftovers. You see, our insufficiencies become more than sufficient when we place ourselves into the hands of Jesus. Our weakness, our emptiness, even our brokenness will become a blessing when we first give ourselves to Him. I want you to know on this resurrection morning that Jesus cares about your needs, whatever those needs are. He longs to meet your needs. But you have to put your life in His hands instead of keeping your life to yourself. Jesus cannot bless what Jesus does not hold. Second, I invite you this morning to come and see Jesus meet a woman caught in the act of adultery. As Jesus was teaching in Jerusalem, the Pharisaic religious leaders came and threw this woman at Jesus' feet. A woman, they said, who had been caught in the act of adultery. I don't even know how they did that, right? And just brought her, not him, but they did. They wanted to know if Jesus believed in the law of Moses. They wanted to know if Jesus would stone her. The folks surrounding Jesus that day were foaming at the mouth with self-righteous anger. Their hearts were filled with hatred. Their hands were filled with stones. And what did Jesus do? He stooped down and began to write in the sand. He said nothing. He just wrote in the sand. Finally, Jesus stood and he said, "Let he who's without sin cast the first stone." And then Jesus bent down and wrote again on the ground. And the crowd began to go away one at a time, beginning with the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing in front of him. And Jesus straightened up and he asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more. Go and leave your life of sin." Anybody out there this morning need that kind of forgiveness? Anybody out there this morning need somebody to stand between you and your accusers? Anybody out there ever been caught or trapped in your own sin and brokenness? Jesus did not condemn the woman. He offered her grace. He offered her the unconditional love of God that meets her where she is and then is willing to take her where she needs to go. The forgiveness of sin, the power to be made different, that's what Jesus wants to give you this morning. When we touch Him, when we allow Him to touch us, we are made clean, yes, but we are also made whole. We are also made different. We are set free. Jesus told us, "I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness." I can't follow Him without getting out of the darkness. And when I'm following Him, I don't get in the darkness. Jesus said, "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but instead will have the light of life." Do you need that kind of light this morning? like to love your husband, like to love your wife, like to help you move out of the darkness, like to help you lead and serve your family, like to help you trust the future that God has for you, like to help you forgive others, even as Jesus has forgiven you. Third, come and see. Come and see Jesus, the ultimate teacher. Jesus taught us and he taught the crowds as one who had authority. When Jesus taught, he spoke of things so deep, yet he made them so simple. He talked in a way that anyone who wanted to understand could understand. He talked about farmers planting and harvesting. He talked about mamas baking bread. He talked about bags of gold being invested. He talked about doors and gates and oil and salt. Jesus' desire was to make the things of God and the character of God accessible, available, understandable to us all. And Jesus surely and clearly taught about the character of God. He talked that God is Father, Abba, Daddy, a Father who's compassionate, a Father who's always pursuing us, a Father who's always forgiving us, a Father who chases after his lost son down the turn row and throws his arms of grace around his torn and tattered pig's dunk son. He kisses him, he loves him, because that's who the Father is, because that's who God is. Jesus taught us that God is a good shepherd, loving his sheep and laying down his life to protect them. Jesus taught us that God is a God of mercy. God didn't give us what we deserve. He gives us what we need. He taught us again and again and again that God is a God of love, that God so loved the world, right? That God so loved you, that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, shall not fade away, shall not go down to that place deep in the pit of hell. That he instead will not perish. He will have eternal life, abundant life, even in the here, even in the now. And Jesus taught that the kingdom of God is for all people, not just the religious elite, not just the theologically trained. The kingdom of God is not something we achieve or earn. The kingdom of God is something we enter into. The kingdom of God is something we receive like a child. Oh, there's so many children here this morning, and mamas and daddies and grandmamas and granddaddies are holding those children, comforting them, caring for them, feeding them, changing them, because those little children are safe in their arms. And that's how we come to the Father. As a little child, not as one who's got it all figured out, not as one who's stubborn and want to do it our way. We just go into their arms because we trust their arms. Jesus taught us the great commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus taught us the great mission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, of all peoples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. Jesus taught us the great power of God's Spirit. But you will receive power, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The great news, y'all, is that Jesus wasn't just a great teacher a long time ago. He is still seeking to be a great teacher to each and every one of you, each and every day of your life. Keep listening to him. Keep seeking him, and you will find him. Fourth, come and see. Come and see the absolute power of Jesus as he calls forth Lazarus from the dead. I'd seen Jesus walk on the water. I had seen him calm the storm. I'd seen Jesus cast a legion of demons into a herd of hogs. And then one day messengers came from Bethany up to Galilee to tell us that Jesus' good friend Lazarus had gotten sick. Jesus told us not to worry. This sickness would not end in death, that it was going to be for God's glory. It had taken 2 days for the messengers to reach us, and then Jesus waited another 2 days before he said, now we must go back to Judea. We're going, no, Lord, we can't go back to Judea. That's where Jerusalem is, the religious leaders are, and all they want to do is cause you harm. We can't go back there. And then Jesus told us plainly that Lazarus had died. It took us another 2 days to get to Bethany. And once we got there, Jesus comforted Martha and Mary. And his heart was broken by their grief. Their tears caused his tears. His heart is always broken when our hearts are broken. And he said these words to Martha, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live. And even though he dies, whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Then Jesus, he went to the tomb, and once more he was deeply moved. And he said, take away the stone. But Lord, said Martha, by this time there's a bad odor, for the body's been in there 4 days. And then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the very glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and he said, Father, I thank you that I have heard your call. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you have heard me. I know that you will always hear me. And then Jesus, he called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man Lazarus came out. His hands and feet were all wrapped up. He had, you know, sheets wrapped around his head. And Jesus said, take off those death clothes. Take off those grave clothes and let him go. Set him free. There are some of you here this morning that are just as emotionally and spiritually dead as Lazarus was physically dead. I mean, you're worn out, you're tapped out, you're emptied out. And Jesus is calling you by name. Chris, come out. Kelly, come out. Matt, come out. Elena, come out. Take off the grave clothes and be set free. Take off the things of death and be set free to live, to truly and fully live in him and live for him. You don't belong to the grave. You belong to Jesus. Finally, this morning, I want to invite you to come and see. Come and see Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Come and see Jesus. Give his life for us. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, on the night before he would be crucified, on that night we shared Passover together. I mean, we had lamb and matzah and bitter herbs and wine and grapes. It was a feast. And on that night, Jesus washed our feet. He got down on the floor as if he were our slave. And the Lord of all lords and the King of all kings showed us what real leadership looks like. Showed us what real love looks like. And that night, Jesus prayed. He prayed for us. He prayed for the world. He even prayed for you, for those who would come to believe in him in a later age. And then Jesus took us to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prayed more. Jesus prayed. We slept. Jesus prayed. And surrendered himself to his Father. We chose sleep and surrendering ourselves to our flesh. As Jesus prayed, sweat like great drops of blood poured down from his brow. Father, Abba, Father, Daddy, oh Daddy, if it's possible, take this cup from me. But Lord, Father, Abba, not what I want, but what you want. Not my will, but your will be done. When Jesus rose from prayer, Jesus went out to his accusers. He knelt that night in absolute weakness. He surrendered himself fully to his Father. And so when he rose, when he got up out of the dirt, he was full of his Father's power. Judas the betrayer came to the garden where Jesus had been praying, and Judas was guiding a detachment of 200 plus soldiers and some officials from the ruling council. The mob, they came carrying torches and lanterns and weapons. And Jesus, Jesus knowing everything that was going to happen to him, he turned tail and ran. Nope. Jesus knowing everything that was going to happen to him, he went out to them. And he asked, who is it that you want? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said, I am he. And when he said, I am he, that whole mob fell to the ground before him. After Jesus let himself be arrested, he was taken to a bogus and illegal trial. If ever there was what your culture calls a kangaroo court, that court was held that night. Jesus was ridiculed and accused. He was mocked and beaten. They played blind man's bluff to him, where they tied a rag around his eyes and they would punch him and they would slap him. Oh, you're so spirit-filled. You're so Messiah. You're so Christ. Who hit you now? What about now? You who knew everything and knows everything. What about that? Who hit you now? And finally, Jesus was condemned to die by the chief priest. After they'd beaten him, after they'd spit on him, he was condemned to die by the chief priest and so-called religious leaders of our day. The only problem was the Jews had no authority to execute anyone. So at daybreak, the Jewish leaders dragged Jesus to see Pontius Pilate. Pilate found nothing deserving death in Jesus, but instead of exercising his authority that he had, he let the people choose what would happen to Jesus. And remember, the people cried out, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate turned Jesus over to his soldiers who were trained in torture and death. I, like all the other disciples, had forsaken Jesus and fled in the night before. So I didn't see what happened, but I heard from a great distance away. I heard Jesus being scourged with the cat of nine tails. Not just any old whip, but a whip that had glass and pottery and hooks and metal and big, these like ball bearing balls. And every time that the whip would go upon his back, it didn't just snap. It literally dug into his flesh and ripped his flesh away. He got 39 lashes because the death penalty was 40. By the time they were finished beating him, he had almost bled to death. Internal organs, perhaps, even exposed to the air. I didn't see it, but I heard it. And I didn't see, but I heard the spikes being driven into his flesh. They took Jesus and they led him up to Golgotha. And then they threw him down. They laid him on the cross. Jesus hung on the cross from 9 until 3. At noon, darkness covered the earth as the darkness of our sins came fully upon Jesus. At 3, Jesus made a loud cry, "It is finished!" And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the barrier between the presence of God and humanity had been severed, not just for a moment, but for an eternity. And Jesus prayed, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." And Jesus breathed his last. The Roman centurion came around to make sure that Jesus was dead, and he took his sword and he pierced Jesus' side to the pericardial sac of his heart, and blood and water came flowing down. They took Jesus down from the cross. They laid him in the borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And that was Friday. And this Saturday came, and it was a day of fear for us, and we expected them to come and arrest us to do what they'd done to Jesus. We stayed locked in our house, candles out, windows shut, bars barred closed. Sunday, after another sleepless night, Sunday, after daylight had barely broken, before the sun was fully up, we heard beating on the doors. And I just knew it was the Roman soldiers coming to take us away, but instead it was Mary Magdalene. And she told us that the stone had been rolled away. She told us that the tomb was empty and that Jesus was risen. We didn't know what to believe. It was beyond believable. And yet, Jesus had told us many, many times that he would suffer and be rejected by the elders, that he would be killed, and after 3 days, he would rise again. But what in the world did that mean? That night, we were all together. Again, the doors were bolted, the windows were closed shut. There was no way in, no way out. And then out of nowhere, Jesus appeared to us. He stood right in front of us with holes in his hands and holes in his feet. And Jesus said, "My peace I give to you. You may have all run away, but now you are all home. Now you are mine. You are forgiven, and you are also to forgive those who have sinned against you. Peace, shalom, my peace be yours. As the Father has sent me, now I am sending you." Brothers and sisters, this resurrection morning, that same Jesus is here. He's not just inviting you to come and see, but to come and believe, to come and receive, to come and give yourself to him and let him give himself to you. He doesn't want you to merely know about him. He wants you to know of him, of his love, of his spirit, of his grace, of his goodness, of his joy. My brothers and sisters, hear me now. The religious leaders couldn't hold him. Pontius Pilate couldn't hold him. The spikes of an old Roman cross couldn't hold him. The sealed and guarded tomb couldn't hold him. Death, my brothers and sisters, couldn't hold him. But this morning, the resurrected Jesus, he waits for you to hold him and to have him. He waits for you to let him have you, for you to let him hold you. This morning, the same Passover meal that we ate became the meal that we remembered the love of Jesus. It became the meal of grace to us in the early church, and it's still the meal of grace to you. It's not a denominational meal. It's a Jesus meal. And it's for any and all who need him, any and all who want his love to be made real in their lives. And so we remember that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. He gave thanks to his Father, and he broke the bread. He said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." And likewise, after supper, Jesus took the cup. And once again, he gave thanks to his Father, and he poured the cup. He said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." He gave his all so that you might be saved, so that you might be forgiven, so that you might be free. This morning, as you take bread, as you receive bread, you're receiving Jesus. And as you receive Jesus and you dip that in the cup, you're remembering how Jesus shed his blood for you. The world may not think you're worth it. You may not think you're worth it, but he thinks you're worth everything. You're worth his all. His blood shed for you because you matter that much to him. Receive Jesus this morning.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.